I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, is that... You're right. What have you done now, Vicky?
Oh, what? I know. That's me lift.
Sorry, everyone.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. So on this week's podcast, I have my good friend and the absolutely gorgeous, both inside and out, Kelly Brooke. But before I welcome her to the show, I thought I would introduce you to this week's podcast subject. So this week, we are looking at the secret to feeling fabulous at 40, which is, of course, why Kelly was absolutely perfect for it. She is so gorgeous and just seems to have her shit totally together. Do you know what I mean? Handsome young fella, brilliant job, gorgeous garden, knows her way around a kitchen. I mean, is there anything this woman can't do? I can't give you my secret on feeling fabulous at 40 because I'm a little way off. But I can talk to you about how I felt when I was turning 30, I suppose. I think as you get older, big milestone birthdays, they tend to come with a lot of gravity and a lot of stress. And I'm not sure if it's society that puts the stress on or if we ourselves just add pressure for unnecessary reasons. I know when I turned 30, it was all a bit scary for me. I was by no stretch of the imagination where I thought I should be. I thought I should be married and I thought I should have kids. And I thought I'd just be really settled. But actually, I found myself in a place that was completely the opposite. Everything I thought I'd known for the last three or four years was totally turned upside down. And it felt like I was sort of starting from scratch again. And I think that added to my fears when I was sort of 30-odd. But when I sat down and really looked at it, I don't think there was much societal pressure. I think it was me who was putting all of this gravity on it. We all do things at different times in our life, don't we? Getting your degree at 29 is still an achievement. Finding love at 35 is still beautiful. Having kids in your 40s is still an amazing thing. And you shouldn't hold yourself to anybody else's timeline or compare your journey to anyone else's. And I think when we truly start to embrace just living life and having fun and doing what's right for us at the right time, that's when we actually become fabulous. So that would be my only advice. Don't hold yourself to anybody else's timeline. Just embrace your journey and enjoy whatever's happening at that time because it's right for you. I hope that helps everybody out there. So just before I welcome Kelly, I thought I'd find out how everyone's been getting on this week. It feels as though the world is slightly starting to open up, which makes me happy on one hand, but also makes me incredibly anxious on another. I'm not sure I'm ready for it all. Like, I want certain things, like I want to be able to hug my baby niece and I wouldn't mind a pint in a pub, but I am quite scared about London traffic and crowds and all the rest of it. Does anyone else feel the same way? It's almost like I've got used to my little isolation bubble and I'm not ready to say goodbye to it yet. I'm really scared that I'm going to go back to that like fast-paced way of life I had before that I just have in lockdown realised I didn't love. Oh, I don't know. I'm getting scared. Ignore me. I have had a really nice week and I have been embracing the changes of the new normal. I managed to get up to Newcastle at the weekend and see me friends. One of me mates has had quite a long, hard, lonely pregnancy in lockdown, which I'm sure loads of you lasses out there listening can probably relate to. She's missed all the lovely milestones and things that you normally have. Do you know what I mean? Like the gender reveal and just all your mates being there for you and stuff. So we decided to throw her a secret baby shower and she was over the moon. It was so lovely. Doing it social distancing was a little bit weird, but no, it was just so nice to see everybody. And I suppose like that part of lockdown being over, I'm really looking forward to. I have missed everybody loads. Anyway, enough of that. I'm sure you're all sick of hearing about me. I'm sure if you're following us on Instagram, you already knew anyway. But it's time to welcome the lovely and talented and fabulous at 40, Kelly Brooke.
Hello.
Hi, Gorge. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks so much for having me on.
Don't be so daft. I'm so grateful you wanted to do it. For anyone who doesn't know, Kelly is a super busy woman. Like, you've got your radio show, you've got your regular slots on this morning, you've got that bloody lovely looking fella. I just don't know how you managed to keep up with it all.
I know. And to be honest, it's been quite challenging during lockdown to kind of figure out how to do everything I was doing at home, but somehow we managed to do it. But I absolutely love being busy. I'm not one of those people that takes a lot of holidays anyway. I know it looks like I do on my Instagram, but no, I love working. I'm a workaholic.
Well, the devil makes work for idle hands, don't they, mate? So I know where you're coming from.
But you're busy. I mean, how long have you been doing this podcast for?
Oh, the podcast is relatively new, Kel. So you are I think you're my eighth guest. So yeah, I know, right?
Who have you had on?
Oh, we've had some good ones. We've had Ovi from Love Island. We've had Pete Wicks from TOWIE. We had Giovanna Fletcher, the author and podcaster. No, we've kept it really varied and really fresh. I'm loving doing it.
Oh, great. This is great for you. You're just getting paid to like chat to your mates. This is like perfect.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about working smart, not hard, Kel. You know me.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Before anyone who's listening to this must think, oh, yeah, they just dived straight on this podcast, started having a chat. No, we've been trying to get this technical thing working for about 45 minutes. It's not as easy as it looks. How on earth have you been doing your radio show from home as well?
Yeah, it was so challenging. I mean, when I first had an idea that we were going to be going into lockdown, I did say to my producer, have you kind of considered like how we're going to do the show from home? And he said, what do you mean? You're coming into the studio. You're an essential worker. And I've never considered myself essential in anything. And I said, how am I an essential worker? He said, well, people need travel updates. They need the news updates every half an hour. So you need to be here making sure that everyone knows what's going on. And I thought, and it was like the first time I really thought, oh, I actually have got a proper job.
Oh, Kelly, I feel like you're being a little bit hard on yourself there, mate. You've had so many jobs over the years. I feel like you've had like the professional equivalent of a cat's nine lives. You've had so many.
Well, you know what it's like in this industry. Like one minute you're up and then you're down and then you're up and then you're down. And I think the key is, you know, you've got to be resilient. You've got to be flexible and you've got to give things a go and not be scared to fall flat on your face because it's just what keeps you going. You know, I've tried so many things and for whatever reason, and sometimes it's no fault of my own that they don't work, but things don't work and you just have to kind of dust yourself off and move on. I think as soon as you kind of approach something and think, oh, this is it now, this is going to be a hit, this is, you know, this is going to go for years, more often than not it fails. But then there'll be something like the radio, for example, where I went in as like a week's cover for somebody, just had a bit of fun, and it's and 2 years later I'm still doing it. So you just never know like where your path's gonna lead.
That's it. And it's like you say, like it is being brave and taking those chances and putting yourself out there that ultimately will end up working out for you and paying off. You never regret the chances that you take. It's the ones that you don't take that you regret.
Yeah, so when you did The Jungle, I mean, did you have any idea that you would like win that show? You just don't know. I mean, maybe you did. I don't know. But you don't know how they're going to edit you, how you're going to come across. Like, you don't know. Like, you could have a meltdown one day and they just show that and people think, oh, she's a drama queen. Get her off.
Yeah.
Or you come across lovely and they show all your loveliness and best bits and you end up winning and that takes your life into a whole new direction. So you can't really control it, to be honest.
Nah, you can't. And especially with TV, it's sort of out of your hands, isn't it? Like, when, especially when you're not producing it, someone else has got that level of control. And like you say, I remember always hearing, do you remember Jimmy Bullard when he was in Kell? And he had that row with Jake Quickenden. And apparently it was dead two-sided. They were giving each other as good as they got. But the way it was edited, Jimmy just looked terrible and he'd been favourite to win. And before you knew it, he was first out because of that one moment.
Wow, it's incredible. Yeah,
it just goes to show, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does go to show. But like I said, like, yes, I've had like lots of amazing experiences, as you have as well. And I just think, you know, if you're really passionate about what you do, you just kind of let the knocks be a learning curve and not let them kind of get to you. And you just, you know, I'm quite strong like that. I just kind of keep going. And also, I don't know how to do anything else.
You and me both, mate. But it does seem as though you've got it all figured out, Kel, because I mean, I look at your life, right? And at one point you were living in Hollywood, you were walking red carpets, you were wearing these barely there dresses, and can I just add, sidebar, rocking the shit out of them. Now you're like super settled in this gorgeous Primrose Hill house with a wonderful like partner doing your gardening, mate. It's like it's a world away from that life you used to live.
Yeah, it is. I grew out of it, to be honest. I mean, I turned 40 last year, and LA is a fantastic place, but it's really a young person's place. Like, it's you, where you go and all your dreams can come true. And don't forget, like, when I went there, I went with Jason, who had an amazing opportunity to go and live out there and work in films. And, you know, I was riding, you know, both of us were kind of like, it was an adventure. Yeah. And it was an amazing adventure. But also, like, I always see my life as chapters. And I wouldn't want to go back and try and recreate that because it would never be the same. So it's just trying to find something else. And also, I don't, like, I love LA, but I'm such a British girl. Like, I love beans on toast and cups of tea and EastEnders, and I love my mates and I love the pub. And there is all of that that you kind of leave behind. So, you know, as much as it looks great out there, and it is great, it's a lovely place to visit and I love visiting. Like, I just don't want to live there.
Nah. And I think, as by the way, when Kelly says Jason, for anyone who doesn't know, she's talking about Jason Statham.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's still there and absolutely smashing it, and that's great. But
he obviously just doesn't love beans and toast as much as you do.
Oh no, he does. I can guarantee he does. It was definitely the first thing we used to eat when we stepped off the plane home after being out there for like 3 months working on like whatever we was working on. We'd come home and it'd be like the first meal would be beans on toast with a bit of cheese on top. We loved it.
But I can imagine, although it is glamorous, Kel, and it does, it looks glamorous and the sun's always shining and everyone's super gorgeous. This is my thing. I reckon it might be, it feels like it looks a bit lonely. Was you ever lonely out there?
Oh yeah, I think the thing is, I think being an actor or actress or anyone that works a lot in telly, you spend a lot of your time on location, and I think that is extremely lonely. So I would be like, I did a show called Smallville back in the day. Like, it was one of my first TV shows. And I only did like 5 episodes. And I was in Vancouver in a hotel. Mm-hmm. And it's like the most beautiful place. But there was no one to share it with. I was just there alone. Mm-hmm. So when you're kind of in a beautiful, no matter how beautiful the hotel is, like, if you're there alone, like, who are you having dinner with? Like, who are you, you know, you're not going to go on bike rides on your own and stuff like that. So it can be quite I mean, I did, but it's isolating. So yeah, it is a little bit kind of empty in a way. But you know, you're living your dream and you're doing what you love, which is great. But you do kind of go, oh, I thought this wasn't quite what I thought I wanted. I, you know, you do miss, you miss your family. You miss your, like, what's familiar to you, I think.
Yeah,
you would. I reckon you'd. I don't think you'd love America like that, Vicky. You'd be. No. You're such a Newcastle girl.
proper, babe. I'd be the same as you. I'd be like, oh my God, no. I want my friends. I want my family. I want my English TV. Yeah. I'd be tearing my hair out. Like, I couldn't enjoy the nice stuff, Kel, because I'd be missing my home so much.
This is it. And then you spend all your wages flying people out to see you. Come and visit. They're like, we can't afford the flight. I'll pay it. Don't worry. Just get on the plane. It's a nightmare.
Oh, bless you, mate. Well, you do seem like you're proper settled and proper happy now. How have you been finding lockdown?
Well, I mean, selfishly, I've absolutely enjoyed the time just to stop, just to stop and actually like reflect and look back over like those like amazing times and go, oh, wow, I never really think back to living in LA. I never really think back to holidays I've had or experiences I've had. And then to like go through old photo albums and look through your phone and think, what was I doing this time last year? Like, when do we ever do that? We're always about what's next? What can we plan next? What, like, we want more. So to actually, for someone to say like, no, there is no more, this is it, you can't make any more plans. We don't know, it's, you know, the unknown is here now. We don't know what's going to happen. So you had no choice but to like kind of use your imagination and kind of revisit those moments that you've created, those memories, which I really enjoyed. I thought that was incredible.
I think you've echoed so many of my sentiments, Kel. Like, and I think lockdown was a total roller coaster, like, and we've all felt different things at different times, but overall I felt exactly the same, like, so grateful for just this almost like a pause. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
because we live life so fast, always wanting the next big thing, not really being grateful for the things we've achieved or what we've got or who we've got in our life, always just looking for something else, the next chapter. And I think it's been lovely for us to take our foot off the gas and just enjoy what we've got a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you've got your lovely man as well. I mean, how did you two get on being completely like in each other's pockets for that time?
Well, we've had our ups and downs, Kel.
I think we all have. I think we all love our partners, but I think there's definitely moments when we're like, oh my God, I want to kill you right now.
Oh, you wouldn't be human, mate, if you hadn't. Like, I've spoken to a couple of people and they've been like, oh, we've absolutely loved it. And I think, right, you're full of shit. There's definitely got to have been a moment where you've thought, just get out my face. Just get out my face. We've all experienced it. You know, we're not meant to be cooped up in a small space with someone for sort of 3-4 months over. And undoubtedly, there's going to be fireworks sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, my neighbour found Jeremy on the park bench down at the end of the road. He said, why are you sitting here? You've got a lovely garden. And Jeremy said he was so embarrassed he didn't know what to say, but I just had to get out of the house because you were driving me mad.
Oh, bless him.
He didn't even sit in the garden. He actually like left the building. Oh my God. So I think it worked both ways.
Yeah, I can totally empathise. Like, I remember one day, and like, this was like right near the start of lockdown now, which feels like a different lifetime ago. But me and Erkan would be, for me, I like my space, I like my independence, Kel, but Erkan would literally just be like attached to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It wouldn't matter to him. He's got a big family. He's used to being like everyone being under each other's feet. So one day I just had enough. We'd been at each other's throats. Everything we said was rubbing each other the wrong way. So he was on the balcony on a call. So I just thought, this is my opportunity. I walked out. I thought, I'm going for a walk. I need some space. Well, he spotted us leaving the apartment from the balcony. He followed us. He come and followed us. I was sitting in the park and he was like, what are you doing? I was like, trying to get some fucking space. He was like, just thought I'd come with you.
Oh no, it's so funny. No. He's such a beauty, isn't he? Oh my God.
Honestly, Kel, I'm so lucky. I've absolutely landed on my feet. I've done a bit of a U. I'm a playing the cougar for a bit. Like, I just thought, why not?
Absolutely. Oh, I love it. I mean, listen, we've all had our fair share of the wrong'uns. So it's nice when you finally meet someone lovely. And it brings out the best in you, because when they're nice, totally. It makes you nice.
That's it. And that's what I didn't realise for years, is that I was with these men, right? And I'm not casting shade. Like, everybody's seen me. Past relationships didn't work out. It's no secret. But I was with these men who, the relationships were unhealthy. At times they were toxic. And I thought I could make them better. I thought I was going to be able to fix them. Like, I think it was like a wounded bird thing. God, yeah. But I was like, I'm going to make them better. I'm going to fix them. Like, we're going to have the... I'm going to be like their savior almost. And it never works out that way. They just make you worse.
Yeah.
They make you stressed. They make you tired. They make you exhausted with the process. And they bring out the worst qualities in you.
That's
it's
it.
Taken meeting Erkan for me to realize just how nice that can be.
I know. But then how much did Erkan have to do a bit of work? Because I know Jeremy had to do a bit of work on me in the beginning. Because you just assume they're going to be the same as everyone else. And so for a long time, you're like looking for it in a way. You're like, oh, this is it. This is when you're going to show that you're not really that nice and you're actually the same as all the rest. And then when they don't, you're a bit like, oh.
I know. Kelly, but this is what I actually, right, this is the only thing about mine and Erkan's relationship. So obviously I've gone out with, and you can completely identify with this, I've gone out with some bright bastards, right?
Yeah.
So I was always the good one. Like, no matter how much I misbehaved, no matter how much I threw me toys out the pram, I could have me arsehole moments, but ultimately I was still always the good one because they were worse. Going out with Erkan is the first time in my life when I'm the party prick.
You're the arsehole!
I'm the arsehole! I'm the arsehole!
I'm the arsehole. This is it. Oh, no. So funny.
It takes some getting used to, though, doesn't it? I was like, every time we'd have an argument, I'd be like, right, I'm going to get him here. This is where I'm going to be right. And I was never right. Oh. I've had to practice humility so much going out with them. But it has brought out a nice side in us, I suppose.
Yeah, that's it. And that's all about finding someone that makes you grow and be better. And that's when you know you've got the one, I think.
And I feel like we're both finally happy with who we're with.
Well, the older you get, the more you just start making the more sensible choices. But ultimately, you'd never really know until you start. I reckon it takes about, well, you need to see someone through every season. So about a year to really get to know someone.
That's it. You can't have a fellow who's just good in the summer, mate. No one
has
that.
Yeah, or like winter, because you're like, oh, he looks cuddly. And then in the summer, he's got a nice bod. No, you need to have them for all seasons.
A man for all seasons. Yeah. I love that.
And all decades.
Aww.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But then, right, so how have you guys been spending your lockdown? You've obviously still been busy with the show and stuff, right?
Yes. So, like, for Jeremy, it was a lot more difficult because he works on films and TV shows and all of that just shut down completely. So it was really challenging for him. But because he's, like, he does a lot of martial arts, he's very zen, he's very calm. So I feel like that would have affected somebody that maybe wasn't as calm and zen as Jeremy. But he was actually very good. And he was really good at assisting me and helping me like set up all my tech stuff at home. Like, he's really good with that. Not today, obviously, he failed, but usually he's really good at doing all that stuff. And I just think we tried to do like what we usually do, so it didn't disrupt our routine too much. I mean, to be honest, Vicky, we didn't realize that we were living a pretty self-isolation life anyway. And I spoke to my mum about it, and my mum was like, I don't see anyone anyway. So, like, I feel like if you were a super social person and out a lot, which I used to be, but in the last few years, I've really quietened down and I don't socialise as much as I used to. It wasn't that much of a transition, because don't forget, I lived out in the countryside for about 5 years.
Yes,
so I was used to being really isolated and, you know, doing my little online shops and just kind of, you know, not going to restaurants and cooking from home and all that stuff that people have kind of had to adapt to you know, if you're living a busy life, most people are going out to restaurants, seeing their friends in the pub. And if for all that to stop really suddenly must have been a massive culture shock. But yeah. For us, we were like, oh, it's just like living in Kent, like when we didn't really go out. So we were kind of okay with it, to be honest.
You've been practicing for years, have you?
We've been practicing social distancing for a long time. You do, though, you know, in your life that were in your life in your 20s are probably not in your life now. You're in your 30s. Like over the years you evolve and people go off and have families and, you know, their kids become their priorities or they move countries or, you know, you lose touch with people over the years. So like my circle has become a lot smaller over time, which is good and bad, really.
I think that just happens though, Kel. Like you say, it's complete, it's natural. Like, I know if I'd have been forced into my lockdown, so sort of in my late 20s, it would have been the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
I would have felt super cut off, dead lonely, just isolation in its finest. But now, being in my 30s, it's like you say, like, I do like my own company. I love to read a good book. I like to cook a meal for me and Erkan. I like nothing more than sitting all day Sunday and barely moving while I binge a box set. That's my jam.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. And so isn't that a nice place to be in, that someone says you can't do something? You're like, well, actually, that's fine. I quite like my own company. I think that's huge to be able to say that, because a lot of people don't like their own company.
Dare I say it, Kel, we are content.
We're ambitious. We still like to get out there and get stuff and do stuff. I think it's nice to keep going and keep yourself stimulated, but it's just stimulated in the right ways, not the wrong ways, like not with like you say, toxic people, drinking, all the other things that go with, you know, what our job would attract, you know. So so gardening, for example, like who would have known that I would have loved gardening so much, but to put my phone down for like a few hours and not be scrolling and just go out there and actually acknowledge nature and the change and how beautiful that is just so nice. That's just been a big revelation to me. So I'm just finding other things that I enjoy, really.
Finding out you loved gardening was a proper curveball for me, I'm not gonna lie. I never saw that coming.
I know.
But you look so at home. Like, I've caught various segments of yours on this morning, and you just look so happy and like at peace. I think, Jesus Christ, I need a fucking garden.
Well, do you know what? I inherited a beautiful garden when I moved into this house in Kent about 12 years ago, and I was really young then, and it wasn't really... That house and that garden was not suited to my lifestyle at all. But I think I bought it because it was the house my mum wanted and never had. So I think I bought it in my mind for her. But then, like, obviously could never live in it because I was always everywhere else. And so over the years, I'd kind of go home and, you know, we had a gardener and he would try and teach me stuff and point out things that were flowering. And I'd be like, yeah. And I really didn't appreciate it. And then it was only until like I started spending a bit more time there that I actually started saying, well, actually, can you just, what's that you're planting over there? And he would kind of talk me through it. Like, he's an older guy and he would like talk me through stuff. And I was like, oh, actually, like, I should have a bit more time for him, a bit more respect for what he does. Like, he's really passionate about this. And I just completely fell in love with gardening. He really it was like, he was like my mentor, really. He's in his 70s, little Michael. And he was like my teacher. And so I never went. He was like my little, So we had like a love every, I couldn't wait for Michael to come every Tuesday. And we'd like go out and be out all day. And it was such a lovely escape from what I was used to. And it was like therapy to me, really.
He was your Mr. Miyagi.
He was. He was. Have you got any crazy hobbies like that?
Well, I got into cooking, didn't I, Kel, last year?
Oh, yes, you did.
So obviously I've been exactly the same as you, travelling loads, fast-paced life, in and out of hotels for, God, nigh on like 3 to 5 years. I've never had a proper base or anything, so I've lived off Deliveroo's and convenience food. And then, of course, I did MasterChef last year, and it just awoke this entire passion inside of us that I didn't even know existed. And yeah, now I love cooking. I cook most days.
Oh, that's so great. And isn't it nice just to put your phone down and just like be focused on something else?
other than mindlessly scrolling on Instagram and making yourself feel shit.
Well, and I just think, our generation and like the younger generations, we can become so self-absorbed and so vacuous in focusing on what we look like, our weight, our relationships, and, you know, to actually look. And I feel like the reason maybe like we're so focused on our relationships as well is because that's an element of looking outside yourself to focus on something else. That's a release. So to have something that isn't a relationship and something that's cooking or gardening or whatever it is, it's just an excuse just to kind of actually not think about yourself for a minute, which I think is healthy.
To develop yourself more as a person as well, Kella, I think.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because quite often we are completely, especially in our industry, especially our generation, totally defined by the way we look. But to offer something else, to offer a skill, to offer like, to be well-read, to be accomplished in something else, I think it's a lovely trait. And it does sometimes get like, it falls to the wayside.
Yeah, it's true. So what is your like go-to dish then? If I was going to come around for dinner, what would you cook me?
Oh God, pressure. God, literally the minute you said that, Kel, because I know you do a fantastic roast, I've started to panic and the back of my knees are sweating. You've made us nervous.
Do you do a good roast?
I do an all right roast, yeah, but honestly, I've not got that big of a kitchen, so I kind of do it on the scale I'd like to do it. I think I lean in towards like Japanese and Thai cuisines quite a lot. I do like a good chicken teriyaki and a nice like sticky peanut butter chicken and stuff, so maybe something like that.
Oh, lovely. I love a nice Thai curry.
Oh, brilliant, right? Well, your first guest when lockdown's finished.
I love spicy food. Jeremy hates, because he's Italian, so he doesn't like anything spicy.
Right.
So when he met me, he'd only like lived on pasta his whole life.
Oh, and he still looked like that, the bastard.
I know. He does train a lot, but yeah, like he loves pasta. Whereas I'm more into protein and salads. Like I'd love a chicken salad or I don't know, like a nice roast with potatoes. I'm not really a massive I love pasta, but I'm not a massive pasta fan.
So is he a good cook as well then, Kel?
He's actually got really good at baking.
No.
I got given this like big KitchenAid, like I did Bake Off this year, and KitchenAid sent me like this huge kind of like mixer, and it's like it's quite a manly looking tool, so I think he feels like it's okay because he puts all the ingredients in and presses the button and it's like this machine, and he just loves it. So he makes an amazing rum cake. He does that.
Stop.
What else does he make? He makes some great stuff. He made like an apple cake, and like I think he misses his grandma's cooking, so he tries to make like recreate all like the panettones and stuff that she used to make. Yeah, he's good.
That's so cute. Right, this is it. When lockdown's over, double date, I'll bring the main course, Jeremy does the dessert.
Perfect. I love it.
Deal.
Yeah, in lockdown, we did like things like we'd like put cinema, like we did like a little cinema in the garden. I put a little outdoor screen out.
I seen. It looks so cute. Kelly, can you? Oh,
it's
God.
So sweet. You could just do it with like a sheet, like put a white sheet up. And you just get an old projector and project movies on, and the sound of it, it felt like you was like back in the like the Second World War or something. It was so cute.
But you two have been absolute lockdown goals. I just want to let you know.
My friend said, you're making it look like a holiday. And I said to her, well, it feels like a holiday because we're able to stop and actually enjoy our time with each other.
Oh, and that has been a really important thing that I've learned from lockdown as well, that probably we were going a bit too fast.
Yeah. I mean, it has been scary though. I mean, my anxiety, I've never really suffered anxiety, but my anxiety during lockdown went through the roof. I mean, I was like getting up in the middle of the night, like having to go and like sit in the kitchen and just like breathe, because we just didn't know what was going to happen, if we had it, if we didn't have it. Like, it was just awful, wasn't it?
It was an incredibly scary and uncertain time. And it's like you say, I think nothing instills fear in you more than just not knowing.
Yeah.
It was terrifying and awful. It's really lovely to know that we're sort of coming out the other side now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
How did you cope with your anxiety, Kel? Did you have any techniques to help you calm yourself or anything?
Well, the thing was, I'd never had anxiety before, only when I get in a lift. But that lasts like one floor and then I'm out and I'm fine. But like you get that kind of hot, sudden flush of, I can't get out, I'm claustrophobic. So it was
trapped.
Yeah, so it was that trapped feeling. So it would come on at night, and I was really conscious of my breathing because coronavirus was all about not being able to breathe. I was thinking that I had coronavirus because I couldn't breathe. So there was this kind of element of not knowing what was a coronavirus and what was anxiety and just trying to figure it out. And then I would go and sit in the kitchen. I'd drink some apple cider vinegar. Which just sounds crazy, but I just think that kills all germs. So I'd drink apple cider vinegar, which was mad, and then I'd have some water, and then I'd just literally sit on the floor, boil the kettle, make some herbal tea, and just breathe, and just try and meditate, and just try and like focus on lovely things and nice things. Mm. And then after about 15 minutes, I'd calm myself down and go back to bed, and then it got better. But I can't imagine how crippling that must be for people that have that all the time. Do you suffer from anxiety or anything like that?
I feel like as I've got older, I think when you're young, you're almost fearless. And like, I don't want to sort of trivialise anybody who does go through anything in their 20s. But for me, I felt so carefree and so, yeah, just essentially reckless when I was younger. Like, nothing really scared us. I spoke without thinking. Like, I acted before I thought all of the time. And I had very little, I don't know, just very little fear. But as I've got older, I just am so much more aware of everything going on around us and how life is fleeting and how, I don't know how I am. I have got a right to feel afraid of stuff. So it's become worse, definitely, in my 30s, Cal.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are speaking out about it more, which is obviously great to get the dialogues going. But it also, it's nice to know you're not alone.
Yeah, no, it's true. And to be honest, because so many people have spoken out over it over the years, I could recognise it. Whereas if I hadn't, you know, I didn't know anxiety was a thing. I wouldn't know what that was, really. So the fact that people have been having these conversations, it made me think, oh, that's, I recognised it. I was like, that's what it is. I'm anxious and this is why. And that's normal. And when you rationalise it in your brain, going, of course you're going to feel like this because things have changed, you know, your chest is tight, not because of any disease you've got, but it's because you're grieving your old life, you know, that fast-paced life. That's your, what your experience is like a bereavement, like a grief. That was the only thing I could like liken it to, really, because it was the loss of something we'd always known. And I don't think life will ever go back to how it was. I think there'll be, it will be kind of similar, but I think this has definitely shifted everyone and made people more aware of certain things. So I mean, I was a bit of a germaphobe anyway. I went into Whole Foods yesterday and I was like, oh, there's no one here, this is fantastic. And the woman, like, you know, she's behind a screen, and I was thinking, it's sad, but I'm actually quite enjoying it because it's not just, you know, coronavirus, it's every other disease and germ that I don't want to get as well. So it's fine.
Kel, you and me must be the absolute polar opposite. Like, I'm not afraid of, I'm so ridiculous. Like, I'm not aware of germs at all. Like, coronavirus proper, like, brought this home for me, just how much I should be washing my hands, how careful I should be being, because up until that, I was so lackadaisy with it. I was so irresponsible. I'd wash my hands like once a week.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. So when I first started working at Global Radio, I remember going in, and I'd never been in an office environment, and I went into the kitchen, and obviously everyone just puts their cups and plates and everything everywhere, and they have cleaners that come around like 3 or 4 times a day. But I got culture shock. So the first thing I would do on a Saturday morning is go in the kitchen, and I'd have to clean the whole kitchen before the show.
Stop it.
Proper culture shock. I got obsessed with it. I was like, I've got to clean up before I start my show. Because I wasn't used
Kelly
to Brooke, being around people.
Radio host and cleaner.
Yeah, they were like, what is she doing?
Oh, get two for the price of one when you're in Polar, Kelly Brooke.
Because I'm so used to being on my own and in my own space and creating my own space. So when all of a sudden you're sharing your space so intimately, like in a studio like that, you know, a radio studio is quite small. You're in an office with lots of people. You know, it was just a real like weird thing for me. I could not get used to it. Like, I'd go in and like I could smell people, and I'd never, you know, I was like, oh, what's that smell? And my producer was like, it's just people. And I was like, oh, I don't like it. Open a window. It's terrible. So embarrassing.
No, know, but it's like anything, like you have to get used to stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it's almost like the last couple of weeks when I see the world starting to, I suppose, open up again, Kel.
Yeah.
Like, it's led me to feel a little bit anxious as well. And I put an Instagram post up yesterday, like I've not been feeling myself. I am a bit apprehensive. Like I can feel my anxiety rising about the world going back to how it used to be. And I don't want it to.
Really?
Like I've settled in quite nicely to lockdown life, to my world being smaller. Like, don't get us wrong, I want to be able to hug me mum again. I'm dying for her to see me, to give me little baby niece a hug and all the rest of it. But ultimately, like, I don't want to live my life as fast as it was and with as many unnecessary people in it. Like, I quite like the quiet and the calm.
Yeah, I think it's really good for us all, really. Do you know what? I don't think it will go back to normal that quickly. I mean, I'm going into the West End every day. Have you been into the West End recently?
Do you know what, mate? I haven't been into London for 4 months.
Well, I mean, to think that now shops are open, cabs are driving around, it's empty, it's very
really?
Quiet. Yeah, it's not, people aren't, they're not running out the door to go into Zara and buy a dress or go to Pret and get a sandwich. Like, people are not back in the office. I think what's going to happen is that there'll be like much more like flexi working, and people will work from home a few days of the week and then come in. Like, I got a train the other day. I was the only person on the carriage.
Honestly, that shocked me. Like.
Yeah, there's just nobody around. It's super quiet.
It's just everyone's reaction, because obviously we're going to be allowed to drink in pubs and club, like restaurants and stuff from this weekend. And everyone's reaction to it, it's like, can't wait, making this reservation, doing that. I think I've been pouring my own measures from home for the last 4 months. If I get a drink in a bar, I'm not going to think there's any alcohol in it.
Exactly.
I'm happy at home.
We had our first takeaway pint the other weekend, and it was, it tasted so good. Oh, nothing better. We were like, let's just go in and get a takeaway pint and sit in the park. It was so nice. Like, I do miss the pubs not being open, because I just love going on a Sunday and sitting in a pub, having a roast and a pint. It's like that's, you know, it's a part of our culture. We need it.
She misses that good British tradition,
yeah,
doesn't she?
Absolutely.
Oh, Kel, it's been so lovely chatting to you. I hope you don't mind if we break for part one now, and I welcome you back in part two to talk all things Vicky Patterson, the secret team.
All right, see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.